Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. B. Richard Ferguson.
We're studying James 3, which is all about good wisdom and bad wisdom. The bad kind is really bad, demonic even. And James is going to show us which kind we have.
I don't have very many pet peeves, but I can tell you one of them. Questions like this. If you were a planet, which one would you be? Questions like that are for people who think in a very different way than I think. Because the only answer I can think of to that question is, I would never be any kind of planet. And if I were one, I wouldn't care which one because I would be a plant. Except for maybe Pluto. I guess that would be kind of a bummer to be Pluto. But for those of you who like those kinds of questions, and you could maybe think of some sort of an answer that would say something about your personality. Whatever answer you gave, I'm not sure it would say very much. Unless you gave this one. There's one answer I can think of that would say a lot about your personality. If you said to someone, which planet are you? And they say, I'm no planet, I'm the sun. That would tell you something, right? That's a little bit over the top. You'd say, okay, I got an egomaniac here. Sounds a little over the top, but if we're honest with ourselves, isn't it true that all of us have a little bit of a sun complex? Every one of us has a tendency to walk through life thinking, it's about me. It's all about me. Life revolves around me. I'm the sun. Walk into the house after work. My wife's job is to come and attend to me. Are you hungry? Here's some dinner. Kids are sitting quietly over there. They won't bother you. You want to play with them? They're available, but you don't. No work for you. Is there a game you want to watch? Can I bring it? Oh, you don't feel like talking right now? Fine, I'll just stand by. I'll be in the kitchen in case you need some potato chips or something. Maybe that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but isn't it true that there's some of that in us? I'm the sun. I'm the point. If I'm on the road, other cars should just get out of the way. Can't they see me coming? Don't they just pull over? Why is this line moving slow? Don't these people know? I don't like standing in line. I don't want to stand in line for a long time. Why is my husband insensitive to my needs? Why are my kids behaving in ways that are making my life harder? Why do they disobey me and do things that make my day unpleasant? That's not the purpose of the universe. The purpose of the universe is for me to be comfortable. That's the way we act. No, we wouldn't admit it. Somebody came to me and said, Daryl, do you think you're the center of the solar system? I would say, of course not. But my emotions tell a different story. The kinds of things that upset me, they tell a little different story. My reactions, my emotional reactions to the things that happen around me are screaming all the time, I am the sun. It's natural for us to think that we're the center of the solar system because from our point of view, we actually are. I mean, that's the only eyes I ever see out of are my own, right? So I see everything from my perspective. The only experience of life that I have is from where I'm standing, which makes me feel like I'm the center. And if I'm the center, then I'm the main point, and everything should work out according to my perfect plan. There's no room in that plan for suffering. There's no room in my perfect sovereign plan for loss or for disappointment or for being treated unfairly by people. None of those are in my plan. And the biggest problem in life is those people who keep interfering with my plan. They won't cooperate. In fact, even worse, not only do they not cooperate, not only do they refuse to be a planet in my solar system, but they think they're the sun and they're expecting me to be a planet in their solar system. And the chaos that comes from two planets that both think they're a sun comes out in our speech. Throughout this chapter, we've been studying through the book of James, and throughout chapter 3, James has been talking about sinful speech. And in today's passage, he's going to show us the source. He's finally going to take us to the source. Why do we say sinful things to one another? Why do we say harsh things? Why do we say so many things we regret? He's going to show us. It's because of the source, which is going to be a pool of bad wisdom. That's the source of bad speech, bad wisdom. There's good wisdom, there's bad wisdom. And the bad wisdom results in bad speech. James is going to show us that that wisdom, that faulty wisdom that results in bad speech, is actually no wisdom at all. It's just the opposite of stupidity. You've heard that phrase, dead men walking. James is going to talk to us about dumb men talking. Okay? People who are, they lack wisdom, they're dumb, but they think they have wisdom, so much so that they're talking. The IQ test for James is your behavior. It's not so much how much you know. It's not just a matter of how gifted and skilled you are at teaching. The test of wisdom is behavior. So let's take a look at these behaviors that James says will make us fail kindergarten. Verse 14. It says, people with earthly wisdom are people who, first of all, harbor bitter envy and then selfish ambition. And why do they behave this way? Here's why. Verse 15. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it's earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. See, we act that way with our bad wisdom because of the origin of that bad wisdom. He says three things about it. First, it's earthly. It's not from God. This world's wisdom would be fine if this world were all there were, right? If this world were the final, if this earth were the final ultimate reality, this life were the final ultimate reality, then there'd be nothing wrong with earthly wisdom. It would be just fine if there was nothing beyond this world. But we know we have to deal with some spiritual realities, right?
Amen.
I need to deal with factors that are going to impact my situation 1 million years from now. And earthly wisdom's not going to help me with that. I need wisdom that can show me how to do battle with spiritual beings, Satan and his demons. I need wisdom that can help me do spiritual warfare. Earthly wisdom is bankrupt in that department.
Yeah.
And most of all, I need wisdom that can show me how to interact with God, how to draw near to God. I need wisdom that can show me what God's will is.
Yeah.
Earthly wisdom has never even heard of God's will. So when it comes to wisdom, here's the rule of thumb. When it comes to wisdom, if it's earthly, it's worthless.
Amen.
Secondly, he says, it's unspiritual. That means it's driven by our fleshly appetites and desires. It doesn't come from the Holy Spirit, which means it's completely devoid of any spiritual power. And then thirdly, this wisdom is demonic.
Yes.
I mean, earlier James said it's ignited by the fires of hell. Now he says it's earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. James, why don't you just tell us what you really feel? You know, don't hold back. He hates this kind of wisdom. You can just tell he hates it. He hates it because look at the results, verse 16. For where you have bitter envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. You think James has seen a few things in his career of leading a church? You think he's seen some damage done by this sort of bad wisdom? That word translated disorder means chaos, disturbances, unrest, tumult in personal relationships. Chaos in relationships, that's what it means. It's the opposite of peaceful relationships. Which is no surprise because obviously you're going to have chaos when a planet thinks it's the sun. If I'm Mars and I wake up every day expecting Jupiter to revolve around me, what does my life look like? Oh, here comes Jupiter. Great, great, here it comes. Okay, now take a turn. Whoa, 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 where are you going? Whoa, whoa. This isn't working. And then here comes Earth. And then, oh, it's going. And this isn't working. This, nothing makes sense. If I picture myself as the center, and I look at the movements of the planets, it's just so aggravating and maddening. What's wrong with them? Don't they know how to orbit? I think they need a little help. And so I devote all my energy to getting them in line, teaching them how to revolve around me, but it's just an exercise in total frustration, which results in absolute chaos. And not just chaos, but not just disturbances and unrest in relationships, but James asks, every kind of evil practice. You can just name just about any sin and trace it back to this in the church. There's just no end to the list of sins that comes as a result of earthly, self-exalting wisdom, people thinking, I'm the center.
Unbelievers love the idea of having worldly wisdom because they love this world. For them, this world is the only reality that exists. But our perspective is much bigger, extending far beyond this world in this age. But on the other hand, we do live in this world, and we need a certain amount of earthly knowledge to navigate on Earth. It helps to understand how gravity works, or when to change the oil in your car, or what's the right balance of protein and carbs in your diet. So where do we draw the line between helpful things like that and the kind of worldly wisdom that's condemned in the Bible? Suppose you have a conflict at church, and someone comes up with an idea of how to solve it. They say, how about everybody in the church commits to memorizing Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, and spends at least 5 minutes per day praying for the person that they're in disagreement with? Okay, well, is that human wisdom? Yes, it is. There's nothing in the Bible about praying 5 minutes a day or everyone committing to memorize a certain passage at the same time or anything like that. So it's not a biblical directive. But does it fall into the category of demonic human wisdom that James is condemning? Well, it can. In order to make sure it doesn't, there are four principles that must be in place. Here they are. Number one, it must not violate any biblical principle and must not be based on any unbiblical assumptions or philosophies. Well, we can check that box. There's nothing unbiblical about praying for your enemies or hiding God's word in your heart. Number two, it must have the goal of applying biblical truth. It's a means to apply something in the Bible. You can check that box as well. Scripture calls us to reconcile broken relationships and to have peace in the church, and this is an effort to do those things. Number three, it must not be elevated to the level of Scripture. Does this pass that test? Well, it depends. If the people who came up with the idea look down on anyone who doesn't do it, or accuse them of being unspiritual or in sin, well, that's legalism. It's taking a human idea and forcing it on others, and that's wrong. But if the attitude is, well, you know what, in my opinion, this is worth trying. Let's give it a shot. If it doesn't work, we'll try something else. And if you don't agree, nobody's going to look down on you for not participating. If that's the attitude, then yes, it passes test number three. And then number four, the idea must not be the object of our confidence or hope. The power of transformation and sanctification come only from the Word of God, not from even the best of human wisdom. If we try this idea and it works, the power for that victory came not from the human idea, but from the biblical principles underlying it. So think of the ideas you've come up with for solving your problems or helping others with their problems. Do they pass these four tests?
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, get our free mobile app. Install the Church One app from the Play Store and select Food for Your Soul.
Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.